Welcome back. President John Dramani Mahama will today inaugurate the Atuabo Gas Processing Plant. The multi-million dollar facility, which is Ghana's first, has the capacity to process 120 million cubic feet of gas from the Jubilee field every day. The plant was one of the flagship projects funded from the initial $3 billion Chinese loan, which government recently decided to access only $1.5 billion. The construction of the facility began in 2011 by Sinopec of China and was completed last year. It has since been processing and supplying gas to the VRA to run the thermal plants in Sekondi Takoradi to generate electricity. It is also expected to provide 75% of the country's liquefied petroleum gas, LPG, for domestic and other consumption. President Mahama will be climaxing his two-day working visit to the Western region and will also be this morning inaugurating a national mobile outreach clinic, dubbed Unyando, meaning love. Love your neighbor at the Sekondi Naval Base. Now, on the inauguration of the gas, Atuabo Gas Processing Plant, we have Alfred Ogbami, the PRO of the plant, and he joins us on the line. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Now, what does the inauguration of the plant today mean?
Basically, it's the official inauguration of the plant, and it simply means that after successful completion and operation of the plant, the construction, execution, and operation is going to be handed over to the state of Ghana. And the president is going to be here to perform the ceremonial acceptance of the plant. That is what it means.
So
it is important to recognize that the plant began mechanical commissioning last year and actually began commissioning and ended commissioning on 31st of March this year and began commercial operations on 1st April this year. It's been so far successful, and indeed, contrary to perception created by some critics, that the plant won't operate successfully for a minimum of even 6 months. We've gone far beyond that, and indeed, the challenges that have arisen, if anything, have not been on the part of the plant, but on the part of our partners who were taught to have the best systems. It is also worthy of note that this is a plan that had multi-sectoral approach to it, and indeed was completed or was constructed by a minimum of 10 companies from 8 countries around the globe, led by the Chinese company, Sinopec. But within the construction period, we have had Canadian companies like TDE. They did all the fabrications, all the work that you see, the things you see, which the Chinese installed, were done by Canadians and called TDE. The offshore aspect of the plant, the pipeline that goes under the sea, belly of the sea, onto land, was laid by an Italian company called Microperri. You've had a French company doing the front-end engineering design. Then you have Japanese company Yokogawa working on it. You have Singaporean company working on it. So various companies from around the globe, English, Canadian, French, Italian, Ghanaian, etc., have all worked on this project. Except that the headline contractor or the main contractor was Sinopec, and the others were subcontractors to Sinopec.
Now, after today's program, are we expecting an increase in the production of gas from the plant?
Well, not necessarily. We've ramped up, and I've been doing approximately 100 million standard cubic feet of gas per day for a long period of time, which, of course, you would note, is what has eased the current energy challenge. It's part of what has eased it. But unfortunately, at the time we expected, the projection was that the production would end, because at the time, the deficit was lower than what we would contribute. However, over the period, the deficit has increased because we've had a shortage at Akusumbo. We've had other challenges in terms of other thermal plants sometimes even going down. And all this has created a scenario where the deficit rose. So today's event, And unfortunately, our partners have not been able to successfully offtake sometimes what we could give them. So as I speak, the expectation is that the president would formally also announce what sort of the things that he has in mind in terms of making sure that the full volumes are utilized.
Okay.
For example, the Minister of Petroleum or the Ministry of Petroleum has announced of plans to do a tie to the West African gas pipeline to ensure a reverse flow of gas from Abwali to Tema. Anytime the Abwali Tema plant is unable to take the full volume from us, so that then we can bypass them and send it to Tema industrial use as well. So,
Hello?
Yes, I'm listening.
Well, we'll have to end the interview here
because of
lack of time. So we'll call you back subsequently for more on the story. Alfred Ugban is a PRO of the Atuabo Gas Processing Plant. Now, President John Mahama has cut the sod for work to begin on the Benchimose Kudukum roads in the Western region. This road links the region to Cote d'Ivoire and other West African countries, addressing the chiefs and people of Asawenso and Gabeso in the Western region. President Mahama said government has allocated 3 billion cedis to construct all roads in the 6 cocoa growing areas in the country for the next 5 years under the Cocoa Roads Program. He said cocoa is one of the foreign exchange earners of the country, and government is committed to constructing and rehabilitating all cocoa roads for easy movement of people and goods. President Mahama also retweeted that fertilizers and spraying of cocoa farms are free, adding that no one is expected to pay for it. Meanwhile, the president also cut short for work to begin on the Drabosu and other roads. He assured the people that the contractors are going to be paid without delay. Another High Court judge implicated in the corruption scandal that has hit the judiciary, Justice Mohamed Habib Lugo, has filed a suit against attempts to impeach him. Anas Aremeyawa Nas, the journalist whose investigative work has exposed the rot in the judiciary, is pushing for an impeachment of all the judges caught in his video documentary. But in a writ filed at the Fast Track High Court, Justice Lugo is praying the court to declare the audiovisual recordings unlawful. Here are excerpts of the writ.
Tiger IPI is the first respondent, the Chief Justice the second, and the Attorney General the third respondent. Justice Lugo is seeking 9 reliefs. The fifth is a declaration that the purported audiovisual recordings and transcripts in which the plaintiff was allegedly captured is unlawful and the same amount to entrapment. The second is a declaration that the directive given through the Attorney General for the Chief Justice to use the audiovisual recordings and transcripts as a basis to commence impeachment proceedings against the plaintiff is null and void and of no legal consequences whatsoever. He is also seeking a declaration that the action taken by the Chief Justice pursuant to the said directive is equally null and void. Justice Habib Lugo also wants a declaration that the Chief Justice has no right to violate the existing laws or legal rights of the plaintiff under any colour. The fifth declaration is for any purported immunity granted by the Chief Justice to Anas Aremeyawa Anas to be nullified. He wants a declaration that the continuous leakage of the contents of the audiovisual recordings and transcripts by the defendants to media houses and social platform is in breach of plaintiff's rights. Justice Habib Lugo also wants an order of perpetual injunction restraining Anas, his workmen, privies and agents whatsoever described from public screening of the said illegal audiovisual recordings. Justice Lugo is also seeking an order of perpetual injunction restraining the Chief Justice and the AG from relying on the said audiovisual recordings and transcripts in any proceedings whatsoever described. He also wants costs including legal fees and any other orders that the court may deem fit to make.
You heard a NewsDesk report in a writ filed by another High Court judge on the alleged corruption scandal in the judiciary. Now, the committee investigating bribery allegations against 22 circuit court judges and district magistrates has given indication of going ahead with the probe in despite the interlocutory injunction application pending at the Fast Track High Court. The court has fixed the 22nd of this month to hear the case, but the 14 judges and magistrates who have filed the suit want the process initiated by the Judicial Council stopped. The affected judges and magistrates say the procedure adopted by the Judicial Council in dealing with the allegations against them breaches the law. Charles Bintun is lawyer for the 14 judges and magistrates. He explains that in view of the pending suit, it is the expectation that the Judicial Council will halt proceedings it has started and allow due process to be followed.
Our expectation was that the committee was going to halt further proceedings in the inquiry by reason of the injunction application that was filed yesterday and served on them yesterday. Indeed, today the inquiry was rescheduled, as they told us, because one panel member was up. Nevertheless, I informed the committee that we have filed an injunction and we don't expect them to proceed. But the committee informed us that in spite of the filing of that application, we're going to go ahead with further proceedings. And so Friday, they are determined to go ahead. But if they do that, that will be an act of contempt. We will take further instructions from our client. As far as we are concerned, there's an application restraining them from further hearing of their inquiry. And until that application is disposed of one way or the other, our expectation is that they will not do any inquiry. And I've said that if they do that, there will be an act of contempt. When we come, we will appear here. If they still are determined to go ahead, we'll take instructions to our clients accordingly. The committee has no jurisdiction to hear this inquiry. And we are talking about law. The law regulating the employment of these magistrates and judges makes it clear that in such an event, a single high court judge or a judicial officer appointed by the Chief Justice for that matter, that must do the inquiry. So if they constitute a panel, which is an illegal panel, certainly we don't expect as a party that proceeding. The district court magistrate and the district court judges are not running away from scrutiny, are not running away from justice, are not running away from any inquiry. They are prepared to submit themselves as long as the right things are done, the rule of law is followed. They're very partial because the court of public opinion, they judge them. They are being called thieves, they are being called criminals, they are being called all kinds of things. In the social media, people are calling for them to be jailed. If this matter should end, part of the exoneration itself will be a very great relief and it will be very much exonerated for the public to know that when they crucify them, it has turned out that they were innocent.
You heard Charles Bintumi's lawyer for the 14 judges and magistrate. Meanwhile, investigative journalist Anas Arimayawa Nas yesterday appeared before the committee hearing the case of bribery allegations against 22 circuit court judges and magistrates. The undercover journalist who wore a veil as a disguise was chauffeur-driven. He was in a long apparel with a pair of trousers and in the company of a sound man and cameraman with police protection. His visit to the premises of the judicial service was to be cross-examined on the allegations of gross corruption his investigation company Tiger IP leveled against some judges and court staff as captured on video. Radio Ghana's correspondents on the ground report that the committee could, however, not sit yesterday because one of its members, Nene Amegache, who is the president of the Ghana Bar Association, is at the bar conference in Kumasi. The committee will sit on Friday. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Pressure group Let My Vote Count protest in Accra to mount pressure on EC for a new voters register. President Mahama inaugurates a Atuabo gas processing plant today as he climaxes his two-day working visit to the Western region. Labour and Employment Minister warns labour unions against illegal strike, saying they risk freeze in salary. NPP targets four least performing regions by party to improve chances of winning 2016 general election. And South African president blames death of Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi on European leaders. We are back after this break.